Good morning. As Janine said, my name's Karen, and I'm part of the team here at TBC. And Marisa and I are excited this morning to open this new sermon series in John 4, where Jesus encounters the woman at the well. The more I've read and researched and looked into this story, the more in awe I am of the details and the symbolism and the hope that this narrative gives us. So can I encourage you to open your Bibles at John 4 and follow along this morning as we explore the story together. But before we begin, let's pray. Lord, you know all things. You know everything we've ever done. You see our hearts and hear our thoughts. Holy Spirit, would you be at work in us and through us this morning? And Father, may these words bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So let me ask you this. Have you ever been so thirsty that you can think of nothing else? That your tongue sticks to the inside of your mouth, it's difficult to swallow, a thirst that screams of emptiness and longing. Water, as we know, is so essential to life that the average person can only survive for about 3 days without it. And since the beginning of time, people have worked hard and searched feverishly to find a good, lasting, and reliable source. In the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, water is used to symbolize, illustrate, and reveal God's power, his judgment, provision, purification, and glory. And in the Gospel of John, leading up to this meeting between Jesus and the Samaritan woman, we see a recurrent theme of water. In chapter 1, John the Baptist is baptizing people. He's preparing their hearts for the coming Messiah. In chapter 2, Jesus turns water into wine, revealing his power over natural processes and order. In chapter 3, Jesus explains to Nicodemus that no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. And then, in chapter 4, we find ourselves at the well where Jesus is in need of a drink, and the Samaritan woman has a thirst of a different kind.
It was hot. Oh, so hot. I was tired, hungry, and I was thirsty. I was also kind of lonely, craving the company of other women to laugh and share and gossip with. But coming to the well in the middle of the day when no one was around, not my choice to make. As I approached the well, I saw a man sitting there, a Jew. I should have turned and gone back, but I was so thirsty. What was he doing here at this time, this place? Oh, this is when I was here, when I needed water. I hesitated, but the heat of the day and my need for water was far greater than worrying about a stranger. Awaiting the comments, the disgust, I was quite surprised when he asked me for a drink. I thought the heat of the day must have got to him. The fact that he even spoke to me, let alone asked me for something. Who was this man?
Who was this man? Let's explore what we know about the place, people, and culture before we dive into their conversation. The well where this encounter took place was situated on a plot of land near the village of Sychar in Samaria, land that was gifted by Jacob to Joseph, and Jacob's bloodline is shared by Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Wells in the Old Testament have formed the place for marriage encounters on three occasions that we know of: Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Rachel, and Moses and Zipporah all met at a well. I wonder if this went through the woman's mind as she approached the well that day and saw this unknown man there. Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman mirrors the engagements in the Old Testament. Someone goes on a journey. A man meets a woman at a well. Water is shared from the well. The woman runs home to announce the visitor, and the visitor then meets the community and is welcomed and accepted. The same steps take place at this well, but instead of a marriage proposal, Jesus offers her true union, a sacred relationship with God that fulfills the deepest longing for connection, purpose, and belonging. The well provides the context for the conversation about water and thirst and scaffolds Jesus' message that results in the divine revelation of Christ's identity and gift. I don't know much about wells, but when I was younger, much younger, we lived in Kenya for a year, and the water supply was often really unreliable in the taps, to the point where my parents decided they would have a well dug in the garden. So a spot was chosen, they drew a circle on the ground, they hired two men to dig this well, it looked pretty much like that, and this was a really slow and tedious process. The ground was mostly limestone, and these men dug this well by hand. They had some axes and shovels, a bucket and a rope, but no electrical tools. But day by day, they inched deeper into the dark ground until many, many weeks later. There was much joy when this worn, dirty plastic bottle made the top of the well, and it had this dark brown liquid in it. They'd found water. This Samaritan woman came daily to draw water from the deep, dark well. Water that takes hard work to find can become contaminated, and a well can dry up. The water that at best can offer temporary satisfaction. This brown, murky sludge that the men had found had potential, but was by no means a clean or abundant water supply. During our time in Genesis recently, we read about Joseph, who was thrown in a dry well by his brothers. He was trapped in the deep, dark hole. He would have seen the shadows and the light at the top. I wonder if the Samaritan woman, who may have felt the restrictions of society, expectations of others, shame, guilt, and judgment because of her circumstances, may have been found in a well of her own. It's easy to focus on the bottom of the well, on the faults of others and our own. But when we look up and focus on the light, our perspectives change, and in our own redemption, we see others in a new light. Jesus sees this woman for who she truly is, as only God can. The man, Jesus, a Jewish man, had just begun his ministry. The time had come for him to reveal his identity and purpose for coming to live among us. He came to restore relationship between humanity and God, to fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament, to bring salvation, new life, forgiveness of sin, and he came to seek and save the lost. But how does he reveal this message? In this opening encounter, Jesus shows grace as he invites a people group that had been hated for centuries by the very people Jesus hails from. Jews despise Samaritans. After the Assyrian conquest around 722 BC, the northern kingdom of Israel, including Samaria, was inhabited by a mix of Israelites and foreigners. This led to a melting pot of religious ideas. Samaritans worshipped at Mount Gerizim rather than in Jerusalem, where the Jews worshipped, and the Jews and Samaritans had a long-standing animosity due to these differences in worship and historical conflict. So when traveling from Judea to Galilee, Jews would take a much longer route to avoid Samaria and all contact with the Samaritan people. Jesus, however, intentionally took the direct journey through Samaria because Jesus had someone to meet. And not only was this person a Samaritan, but she was a woman. A Samaritan woman who would culturally have had a place in society, but this was not a place of freedom. She would have been part of a larger framework, a hierarchy of men and households and duties, and a woman had little status unless she was married, for there was security and recognition in relationship. This woman would probably have been socially marginalized due to her relationship status, and according to Jewish customs, a Samaritan woman was considered impure. But Jesus was about to change all that. I do wonder what was on her mind when she left for the well that day. We know it was around midday, and it was most likely hot. The common story is that people came at the cool of the day to avoid others. But very little is said about this woman. We don't know her name, her age, or her circumstances. But we do know she had 5 husbands and is now with a 6th man. Many sermons have been preached about this woman's assumed immorality and adulterous lifestyle, but this is not what Jesus focuses on here. I think we can safely assume that there would have been emotional grief and pain in her heart and mind after 5 marriage breakups, regardless of how they ended. And now she is faced with a Jewish man in an isolated place. Is there anything more scandalous?
He spoke of living water, which was apparently better than Jacob's water, so much so that if I had this water, I would never thirst again. It would become a well of water springing up from him for eternal life. Well, I couldn't see where he was going to get the water because he had no bucket with him. But, I wanted some. I wanted some of that water so badly. So I asked him for it. But instead of giving me some, he said, "Go get your husband." My heart sank, and I told him I didn't have a husband. Well, you can imagine my surprise when he said, "You are correct. You have in fact had 5 husbands, and the man you're currently with is not one of them." Well, that stopped me in my tracks. How did he know? I mean, he was a man and a Jew. He wouldn't have heard the gossip in the town. He wouldn't have even come through the town. Why was he here now? He should have no interest in me, a Samaritan and a woman. But how did he know these things? Clearly he was a prophet. But now he had my attention. Could it be? Could it be true what he was saying? He began speaking to me as a Samaritan, saying that we would worship a God we did not know because salvation was from the Jews. But there was a time coming when we would all worship the Father in spirit and in truth. All? Everyone? Even me? Could that be true? I knew the Messiah was coming, and he was coming soon, and he would tell us everything. Oh, but the thought that he would be here soon was too good to believe. Oh, so when I told him this, he looked me straight in the eye, and he said, "I, the one you are speaking with, I am he."
This dialogue with the Samaritan woman is the longest recorded conversation Jesus had with anyone. In verses 7 to 15, Jesus asks the woman for a drink. She knows this will make him unclean and questions Jesus. "How can you ask me for a drink?" Jesus' reply is a little cryptic. "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The tables are turned. Instead of asking for water, Jesus now offers to give her water, and not just any water, but a gift from God, living water. The woman then asks where he'd get this water. He doesn't even have a bucket. Is he greater than Jacob, the one who gifted this well to them, that has sustained them and their livestock for many, many years? So Jesus makes the offer even more promising. "If you drink from this water I give you, you will never thirst again." She is about to discover that Jesus offers water that is far superior than the water from the well. This is everlasting living water that will truly satisfy, for it will become a spring within that will well up to eternal life. But she is trapped in the mindset of the here and now, her context, her time, her duties, and people's perceptions of her. She longs for physical water that will free her from the daily drawing and carrying of heavy jars of water. But she fails to grasp the eternal mindset that Jesus offers. Jesus continues and tells her to go and get her husband. And I wonder what she was thinking here. What do I say to this? Do I tell the truth? Do I explain the story again? But she chooses to say the bare minimum. "I have no husband," she replies. To which Jesus says to her, "You are right. The fact is, you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." Jesus casts no judgment here. There is no mention of sin, but it is this divinely inspired moment that allows Jesus to reveal the depth of that which is unseen. He speaks with grace, and I imagine there was compassion in his eyes. He is aware of her life, her story. He knows her all. With the foundation laid, the offer of living water placed on the table, the truth acknowledged, and judgment withheld, the woman's eyes are open to see Jesus as more than just another Jewish man. She wonders if he's a prophet, and immediately jumps into the very topic that divides the Jews and Samaritans, the place of worship. "Sir," the woman said, "I can see you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is Jerusalem." Is there another thirst in her? A thirst for acceptance, for belonging, for true worship? Jesus answers her and says, "A time has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." And with these few words, Jesus affirms that the time has now come when earthly barriers and cultural differences become irrelevant, when worship moves from a physical place and a prescribed method to freedom in the spirit. True worship. The woman then reveals that she is waiting for the Messiah who will explain all things. And it is here in the quiet heat of the day, away from the eyes of others, that Jesus reveals to her, a Samaritan woman, that he is the Messiah, the I Am, the Promised One, the one who has come to explain everything. And flooded with revelation, overflowing with hope, she discards that bucket that her life has previously relied on. And then,
I was speechless. Could this be true? Was this the one that we had longingly thirsted for all this time? Was he actually here? Is this what he meant by living water? Suddenly the clouds in my mind became clear. It was as if a spring had burst out within me. Instead of trying to grasp what was the water at the base of the well, I had water, living water, flowing up from within me, overflowing, it filling me out of me. Joy and love, they overwhelmed me. I had to tell someone. Everyone. I abandoned my bucket because I was no longer interested in the earthly water. And I ran into town because I was filled. I was filled with the living water from the Messiah. I ran in and I told everyone who would listen, and even some who wouldn't. And I said to him, come and meet this man. Come and meet the man who told me everything I ever did. I was filled with living water. I was free.
She was free. And what about you? Are you living in freedom? Or are you sitting in a well of disappointment, expectations, guilt, maybe shame? Perhaps you're feeling grateful and full of joy like this woman when she ran into the village. Wherever you are at this morning, Jesus offers us all true union and relationship with him, true satisfaction from his living water, and true worship in spirit and truth. What do you need to bring to the well this morning? What do you need to be honest with Jesus about? Jesus, who knows everything you've ever done, thought, hoped for, he knows your heart. And just as he met the Samaritan woman and truly saw her, he is waiting for and longs to meet with you. We're going to spend a few minutes in silence. Bring what's on your heart and take some time to reflect on your journey and meet Jesus at the well today.